Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm Rick Hughes, your host, and inviting you to stick around for a few minutes. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and it'll all be done without any manipulation. The Flatline is designed to give you accurate information to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life, and if you can do that, you certainly have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. You always hear me tell you that God gave you two ends, one of those ends you think with, one you sit with. And success in your life is going to depend on which one of those ends you use. Heads, you'll win. Tails, you'll obviously lose. So as we give you information and coming out of the Scripture, out of the Bible, it's called wisdom from God. It starts off acting as knowledge. When I teach you something, it's called knowledge. And in the Bible, there are two different words for knowledge. There's one word called gnosis. Excuse me, gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, and then there's a word called epignosis. Epignosis is the preposition full knowledge. Knowledge and full knowledge. I can give you knowledge, but I can't give you full knowledge. The only way you can get that is to, by positive volition, believe the word of God you hear and apply it into your life. Once it becomes epignosis, full knowledge, then it's converted into wisdom. Once you have wisdom in your soul, you have discernment and insight, the phenomenal ability to have X-ray vision, to see through the devil's lie, to see through the delusion the devil throws forth, the mirage, the stuff that's not really true. That's what wisdom gives you. The wisdom from the Word of God, from the Scripture, can save your life. Wisdom from Scripture can deliver you from financial disaster if you listen to God and pay attention to God. And so we give you this information hopefully to develop some sort of divine viewpoint in your life, which is the viewpoint of God having what we call the mind of Christ. That's Philippians 2:5, you developing the mind of Christ so you have the wisdom that is discernment and insight into what life is all about. Now, there's no doubt, as I talk to you today, we're living in a crisis. I don't know that there's ever been a time in this country that's like this. I don't know if we've ever even seen anything like this. There are mixed messages going around, threats of isolation and impending death. I mean, they abound everywhere in big cities and around the country. Folks are being told not to come out of their home unless it's absolutely necessary. Fear and panic setting up in local communities and in the financial world. It seems to me like people are jockeying to get the most food they can, the most paper products they can, even the most money they can, because greed and fear have gripped this country. Well, what about you? I want to ask this simple question. Are you afraid? I mean, I'm recording this show in late March, and it probably won't play to early April, but what will happen between now and then is a big question mark, because I'm not a prophet. But here is something that I do know about. The enemy, a.k.a. the devil, we use our fear to make us weak, and this includes spiritual warfare, even physical warfare in a physical enemy. America's enemies, and whoever they may be across this great world, will use this national panic to gain an advantage over us. But the greater problem for us, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, is this problem. Have we allowed fear to control us? Have we let fear take us over? Because the more you surrender to fear, the more you fear. And there has to be a better way to live according to God's word. And quite frankly, there is a better way to live. You don't have to live under fear. The Bible's clear about that. So let's talk about that a little bit this morning. The believer, that's you and me, who have trusted in the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have advantages and assets that the unbeliever does not have. I've often said this. I know you've heard me say this on this radio show. There's a train wreck coming, and I can hear the whistle blowing. Well, I think the train wreck may be here. We're kind of standing at the crossroads right now, and the warning thing is down, and the lights are clanging, and the train is barreling in closer. As we watch our nation sink into the depths of medical uncertainty, as we watch America sink into political unrest, you and I have to ask ourselves, how in the world do I maintain a normal life in the middle of all these abnormal times? Is it possible? And the answer is yes, it is possible. I mean, I'm not qualified to give any sort of medical or financial commentary, but I can give biblical encouragement during these changing times. So let's make no mistake about it. We're going to witness a fundamental change in our daily lives if this stuff ever runs its course. But don't act surprised, because as a nation, as a great nation like America, most of our people have turned their focus inwards, and they've been focusing on the gifts of prosperity, and they forgot the giver. That's really a shame. When you focus on the gift, and you forget the giver. And sometimes in a crisis like this, the gifts of money and the gifts of health, you know, you get scared and you start looking to the giver and saying, oh, please help me. Did you forget that we're living in the middle of an angelic conflict, and this worldwide event that we're going through and what we've been facing is an opportunity for Satan to gain an advantage over you and over the nations? But what's bad is that we're going to sail through these uncharted waters, and many who are in the storm have no moral rudder, no anchor in their soul, much less a port to pull into where they could ride out the storm. Because churches are forced to close, and many do not have the harbor to pull into, you know, the local church. Many lost people do not see the beacon of hope shining from the lighthouse of the local church, illuminating the entrance to the port, the local church. This means that you and I must be the harbor of hope. Wherever you are, wherever I am, we must be the light for our family and our friends. We must have a peaceful presence to calm their fears. Is it possible for us to have this? And the answer is yes. Is it possible? Can I have peace in a worldwide panic? Yes, absolutely yes. The storm about you will rage and the battle will continue. The battle, what kind of battle? The battle to control your thinking. The battle to get you to live by your emotions and not think clearly. This is how the devil defeats you. If he can get you to live by your emotions and not think clearly. Because the enemy that we're talking about, a.k.a. the devil, seeks to vindicate himself. He doesn't want to go to the lake of fire. And he wants to control his world. This is his world, you know. The Bible says we live in the devil's world, and we're sojourners. We're passing through. Our heaven is, as the Greek word says, Uranos, or heaven. We know heaven is our home, Uranos. So the storms are going to rage. The battle is going to continue. If it wasn't this, it would be something else. But we could face a historical disaster in America, and it could be full of personal catastrophes, as we're seeing today. But as a growing believer, we can shine our light in the storm and still be standing when the storm dies out. Much like a lighthouse in Michigan that I've walked out on the pier in Michigan many times, up around Grand Haven or Holland, Michigan, or Saugatuck, Michigan. And those lighthouses stand out facing across Great Lake Michigan towards Chicago or Milwaukee. And they are a way, a signal to get back to land safely coming across Lake Michigan. You can be a light like this. You can be the port in the storm. In Matthew 5:14, the Bible says, "You are the light of the world." And this is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples as he gave the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:1-14. And our Lord stated that we should not cover our light, but rather set it on a lampstand. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your divine good production and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what we have to be. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're full of panic and fear, if you're intimidated by these circumstances, your light is not shining. You have to stand firm and tall and confident and full of assurance and full of faith, and you will be a beacon of hope to those around you that don't have those things. John said that Jesus was burning and shining lamp And he told those people that came to hear him, you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. That's what people do. They accept Christ as their Savior, and then they forget about it. That's what Revelation 2 talks about to the church at Ephesus, where they forgot their first love. You've lost your first love, Jesus said. The only way to keep that light bright is to stay in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is a problem-solving device that we call occupation with Christ. Remember, on the flat line of your soul, this is what's important. In these days, you must have a flat line. All these 15 years I've been teaching about a flat line in your soul, a forward line of troops, a main line of resistance, to stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. Now's when you need it. And if we go through them again, rebound, problem-solving device number one, and that's how you get rid of the problem of sin and failure, because we all are infected with that virus, the virus of sin and death. And then the filling of the Holy Spirit is how we deal with the old sin nature that we have. It's a way to live without letting the sin nature control our life. That's why the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit wars against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. So when we rebound or when we confess and own sin, we allow the Holy Spirit to control us. If we don't, then we allow the sin nature to control us. And Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit, not the sin nature. So constantly, you and I must keep a close check on sin in our life. And fear and worry definitely are a sin in your life. Fear and worry are definitely a sin in your life. You got to remember that. So by using the problem-solving devices, it is possible to come to the faith rest drill. In the faith rest drill, you're standing on God's promises, you're relaxed, you're confident. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible that you can lean on and you can trust on, and that's part of the flight line of your soul, using the faith rest drill, claiming a promise, getting a biblical rationale, and understanding what God's done doing. These are promises you should know. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Him. No weapon that is formed against you will ever prosper, the Lord says, and many more we'll talk about. So we have the rebound technique, problem-solving device number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit, problem-solving device number two, the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number three, grace orientation, orienting to the grace of God, how He saved us by grace, we live by grace, we die by grace, and there's even surpassing grace in heaven. Biblical orientation, another problem-solving device, orienting our life to the mind of Christ, thinking as Christ thought, having divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. All of these first five things give us a personal sense of destiny. So we know God has a plan for our life, and He has a plan for your life. And that plan's not to throw you under the bus. That plan's not to see you die in a pile of dust on the side of the road. That plan is for you to be a light to the world and to glorify Jesus Christ as you represent Him to your friends. If you love the Lord, that's personal love for God, the greatest virtue you could have. That's another problem-solving device. And then you have impersonal love for mankind, the mandate that we've been told to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, a great problem-solving device. And then sharing the happiness of God, my joy, Christ said, I leave with you. And then eventually, occupation with Christ, occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear people sometimes say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Sometimes that kind of gets me a little hackled because He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and sometimes we get a little bit too familiar on first-name basis here. I mean, if you saw the president, you would say, hey, Donald. You wouldn't call him Donald. You'd call him Mr. President. The Lord Jesus Christ, being occupied with the anointed Son of God, is an amazing problem-solving device because you know He loves you, and you reciprocate that love by loving Him back, and it's demonstrated by your obedience and your faith. So, Jesus was the burning and shining lamp, and many for a time followed His light, but many wandered off to the side. But here's the neat thing. If our Lord could calm the raging storm of John 8:18, He can calm a storm in your life that you face if you would just let Him captain your boat, get in your boat. Listen to John 8:18. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. And so they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, these are Peter, James, John, Andrew, the fishermen. And they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. You see, Jesus scared them more than the storm scared them. Isn't that interesting? But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." And then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Let's get some principles on this. This is very interesting. One, a relationship with Jesus Christ does not remove all the storms in your life. A relationship with Jesus Christ does not remove all the storms in your life. But he will give you his assurance that he will ride out the storm in the boat with you. He is in the boat with you today if you're occupied with Christ. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, rebounding the sin, Christ is in the boat with you. Two, accepting Christ as your Savior is you inviting him to get into your boat. I want you to notice this. He took those disciples to the other side. They didn't even have to row anymore. He just, bam, they were there. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you turn your life over to him by faith alone, in Christ alone, you're inviting him to captain your ship. And when you're staying filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're learning God's word and applying the principles of faith to your life, when you're growing in grace and when you're developing divine viewpoint, coming to a personal sense of destiny and increasing your love for God, listen, this is what it means to be riding out the storm. This is what it means for Christ to be in the boat with you. This is amazing. There's a storm going on in this nation today. And a lot of people have Christ in the boat, but they're not letting him control the boat, to use that metaphor. He's not in control. To some people, he's still out there on the sea. He hadn't even got in the boat yet. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be confident. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you in any storm in life that you may ever face. God loves you. That's such an amazing statement. It's so simple. And yet you, a small speck of sand in the sea, God knows you. God loves you. And you say, "But you don't know what I've done." No, I don't. You don't know what I've done either, do you? He loves us. He loves us in spite of who we are. He loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to pay for our sin. The overwhelming love of God is it's immutable. You can't even... It's inscrutable. You can't fathom it. You can't think of it. You can't imagine it. It's just amazing. It is God. God is love, the Bible tells us that. And he loves you today. You don't have to be afraid of anything. You don't have to fear anything. Just let him take control of the boat. And you be the light. You be the port in the storm. The Lord sits in heaven at the right hand of the Father, but you have a personal pilot. That pilot is just like any big ship that has to make its way into a big harbor, a big port. They have what's called a harbor pilot. And they go out and get the harbor pilot to bring the big ship into New York or to bring the big ship into L.A. But the harbor pilot is the one that guides it in through the channels and through the narrow waters. Well, this is what the Holy Spirit does for you. The Holy Spirit is your harbor pilot. He leads you to the security of the port, where the storm cannot get to you. Remember, this is why we studied the flight line, so you can have a main line of resistance, a spiritual radar that sees through the fog of the devil's deceit. That wisdom we've been talking about on this show, the one that gives you insight and discernment, is your radar system. It's the system that the Word of God illuminates the lies and the evil plans of Satan. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 13. The entrance of your word gives light. The entrance of your word gives light. There you go. Right there it is. Go outside tonight without a flashlight. Stand in the dark. Take your flashlight and pop it on, and there's light. That's what the Word of God does for you. The entrance of your word into my soul gives me light. I can see now. Or Psalm 43:3, "Oh, send out your light and your truth, and let them lead me." It's amazing. It's amazing when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you've learned God's Word and applied it, the light is always with you, guiding you through the storm of life. It's called biblical orientation or doctrinal orientation on the very flat line of your soul. That's what it is. God the Holy Spirit plus the Bible doctrine gives you the peace that the world does not have. The world doesn't possess it. The world doesn't understand what it is. They don't have peace like you can. You can have peace in the storm even though the waves may be raging. Do you remember Matthew 8 when the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep in the boat? This is another episode with the disciples, and they woke him up and they said, "Lord, save us, we're going to die." Now, he was in the boat with them asleep. They actually thought for a minute that they would drown and Jesus would drown. The Lord Jesus would drown. That's not going to happen. That was not God's plan. God's plan all along was for him to go to the cross. And when he got up, you know what he called them? He called them short-time trusters. Can I ask you a question? Are you a short-time truster? Do you trust the Lord Jesus Christ and the provisions that God has for you because things are going great? The grocery store was open. You had money in your bank account. You could get fuel for your car. Or when things started getting a little tight, did you quit trusting and start scrambling around and worrying and being full of fear and manipulated by Satan? That's the question I'm asking you. Your peace in this storm that we're going through is attractive to a lost person, the disadvantaged person who's alone. So the whole reason for you to have that flatline in your soul and have that relaxed mental attitude is to be attractive, to be a light, to be a port in the storm. Because there are people in this nation that need what you have. And you know, you must talk about it. Listen, if you're a fan of football and you're an Alabama fan or an Auburn fan or a Michigan fan or Ohio State fan or a UCLA fan or a fan of Texas or a fan of Texas A&M, you're going to talk about it. But how many people are Christians and say, "Well, that's a personal issue. I don't really want to talk about it." That's bull. Talk about it. Let folks see where your confidence comes from. Let folks see where your love is demonstrated for God and His Word. It is an anchor for them. It is a port for them. It's a light in the storm for them. Your confident expectation must be demonstrated. So John 14:27, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's what Jesus said. "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Troubled and afraid, these are sins. Fear is the expression of anxiety, not peace. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:7. "God has not given us a lifestyle of fear, but of power and of love and of sound judgment." That's the lifestyle Paul talked about. You don't have to be afraid. Nothing to be afraid of. If the Lord Jesus Christ is in the boat and the Holy Spirit is directing it as a harbor pilot would, and the Word of God is illuminating, lighting the way, what do you have to be afraid of? God was in business before you got here. He'll be in business even when you're gone. You have sound judgment because that's called faith. Faith, a lifestyle of power, that's the filling of the Holy Spirit. A lifestyle of love, that's personal love for God, impersonal love for others. And of sound judgment, that's wisdom with insight and discernment. That's what God's given you. People are always afraid. If they don't have something, they're afraid they'll lose it. Excuse me, they're always afraid. If they have something, I meant to say, they're afraid they'll lose it. And if they don't have something, they're afraid they're never going to get it. That's how people live today. No matter what the circumstances, we live in insecurity in this country. It's just the way it is. Because fear is both a sin and an emotion. And you can't let emotions run your life. Why? Because fear will rob you of the ability for you to think under pressure. You can't think when you're afraid. Your mind will wag like a dog's tail that's excited to see you. You won't be able to focus. You won't be able to concentrate. So problem-solving device number 3 on the flat line of your soul is called the faith rest drill. And you know what that does? When you use a faith rest drill, it robs fear of its power. The faith rest drill robs fear of its power to control your thinking. That's what it does. It orients you to God's grace. It calms you down. You claim a promise. You go to a biblical rationale and you form a conclusion. God's with me. God knew about this was going to happen a long time ago. I have nothing to sweat. He's in charge. He sits on his throne. He knows everything that's going on. And you can relax. So faith rest is fueled by the promises of Scripture. You know, we have a book on promises, and it's free if you want to have it. Bible promises. All kind of promises for all kind of situations that you're in. Feel free to order it, and we'll be glad to ship it right out to you free of charge. We also have transcripts of all of our shows in the last year, especially the year 2019, and it's a whole year's worth of messages. And we'll be glad to send those to you in 3 volumes, and you can read them and study them when you'd like to. This is developing faith rest, fueled by the promises of the Scripture. And your faith rest is demonstrating your confidence in God's plan and your confidence in God's provision. You must have confidence. So Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes all things, even things like going on in America today, to work together for good to those who love Him and to those who are called according to His purpose. In Philippians 4:7, and the peace which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guard your heart and mind. Keep you from being panicked. Keep you from being afraid. Keep you from falling victim to your emotions. It's amazing how the answers are right in front of us, all right there in the Bible, in the Word of God. I'm so glad I can give these radio shows to you. So glad we can bring these messages to you. So glad we can offer you this information, free books, and all the stuff that goes with it. So if you need anything, give us a shout. We're here, and we thank you for listening to The Flight Line.
Welcome to The Flight Line with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. I have some good news for you. The greatest news that I could ever tell you is that God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's great news. A holy God loves you. In spite of what you may have done, in spite of what you may be facing, God loves you. He loves all members of the human race, you included, me included, and that's great news. And the great news is you can love Him back. God loves you, that's His love for you, and you can love Him. You can reciprocate that love by growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what this show is about, explaining how God's plan works. You know, the Bible says, God said in the book of Jeremiah, He said, I'm looking for those who know me and understand me. And there's a big difference between knowing God and understanding God. That's why we have these Bible classes on this radio show called The Flatline, to try and to help you understand the God that you may already indeed know well. But do you understand the protocol involved? What does it mean a right thing must be done in a right way? Do you understand those unique problem-solving devices He provided for you, at least 10 that we can identify? And that's what we build our main line of resistance upon. The flat line is your main line of resistance, those 10 unique problem-solving devices that God gave you. Learn them, orient and adjust to the plan, and see the phenomenal things that can happen. That's why this show is geared up this way. Here, you know, we have IQ. Some have high IQ, some have low IQ, but the IQ is not the issue. Spiritual IQ is the issue. When you take God's Word and learn it and use it in your life, apply it in your soul, when you begin to think with the mind of Christ, you develop a spiritual IQ. Romans 12:3 says, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. His Word, how should we think? Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ operated under these problem-solving devices, but he never needed to remount any sin. And he wasn't occupied with himself, but he sure had impersonal love for all mankind. He sure had personal love for his Father. He sure shared his happiness. He was oriented to the Word. He quoted the Word constantly. He was grace-oriented. He lived by faith. He walked under the filling of the Holy Spirit, just like you do. So this is all amazing information for us. What happens is that people don't want it until they get in a crisis. When a crisis hits, people tend to want to look to God because they have no answers. And there's no doubt that in this day, the United States of America, the year 2020, is facing a crisis. People are scared to death. People are hoarding food, hoarding water, hoarding toilet paper. They're afraid they're going to die. They're afraid they're going to be stuck in their house forever. They're afraid they might not be able to eat. I don't know what they're afraid of. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you never have to fear death, because Satan is the one who makes you fear death. He can intimidate you and manipulate you by your fear of death. And you don't have to do that. The Bible clearly says, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which remain in life together will be with them in the air, so shall evermore be with the Lord. This is at the exit resurrection, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can read about it yourself. When that whistle blows, when the Father says, that's it, it's over, the Lord Jesus Christ will come and retrieve the church, the body of Christ. And if you are a believer that's still alive, then you'll just go through the ceiling. You'll just zap right on out of here. But if you've passed away, then you'll walk out of that grave in a resurrection body, a new body, a body you'll have forever and ever and ever. It's an amazing thing to understand. Come to knowledge, and it gives you great peace and great confidence in God's plan. So we must all understand the spiritual life if we ever hope to glorify God. If we don't prepare, then we don't have any recognition of what's going on, then we don't have any confidence and trust in God. Here's what the Bible says in concerning what you're facing today as a Christian. How can you orient and adjust to that? Well, let's use this verse, Psalm 55:22. Cast all your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, we start off with the word cast and the imperative mood verb of the word shalak in the Hebrew, Psalm 55:22, shalak. Is cast. That's what it means. And I know something about casting. I'm a fisherman. And so when I'm fishing, I cast my rod and reel. Accurate casting is a requirement for a professional angler, and I'm not a professional angler. I could have been had I wanted to go in that direction, but that was a passion, not a priority. My spiritual gift of evangelism is my priority in my life, and it should be your priority too, whatever your spiritual gift is. The fishing is a passion for a lot of people, and we know how to cast without throwing it up in the tree, without hanging it up in the rocks, without bouncing it off the pier. We're accurate casters. I remember telling the church the other day, I was fishing with a friend of mine who could skip a worm under a boat dock. Like you would skip a flat rock, he could skip it under a boat dock with maybe only an inch or two clearance between the dock and the water, and maybe catch a big fish up under that dock hiding. Well, I couldn't do it. I couldn't get it under there. I'd hit the dock or hit the water in front of the dock, and it wouldn't go under there. So we finally came to a pier that had about 8 or 10 inches between the bottom of the wood and the water. And he said, now, that's a Ray Charles pier. And I thought, what's he talking about, Ray Charles pier? And you know Ray Charles was blind. He said, that's a blind man. A blind man could throw under that pier. And he was right. I finally got it under that pier. But, you know, being able to accurately cast is important. And it's important for you to cast. This is a mandate from the original languages. Cast all your burdens on the Lord. In this case, it's the faith rest drill. And in this case, in order for your fear, your faith to be effective, you've got to hit the target. If your faith doesn't hit the target, you're not effective. In this case, the target is God's universal provision of Scripture. And you cannot hit what you cannot see. So we all depend on health care when necessary. But the doctor that we trust most is our loving Heavenly Father. So when you have a threat to your safety, when you have a threat to your security, cast all your burdens on the Lord, and He shall, absolutely 100%, He shall sustain you. He won't throw you under the bus. He won't abandon you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved, the verse says. Proverbs 8:17 says this, I love those who love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. So casting your cares on the Lord would be like you seeking Him early. You get up in the morning and you thank Him for a wonderful day and ask for His provisions and protection during that day and look for opportunities to reflect the love of Jesus Christ through your life to your neighbors, to your friends. In Job 5:22, at destruction and famine you shall laugh. Economic, health, social, even death, you can laugh at those destructions. Job was told this, and that's true. If you are a child of God, if you are growing spiritually, staying in fellowship and not under discipline from God for your sin, you can laugh at famine and destruction, economically, health-wise, social-wise, because you have, as Psalm 55:22 said, you have cast all your burdens on the Lord. That means it's not your responsibility. Worry is you assuming an unassigned responsibility. It is not your responsibility to worry about your life, to worry about your kids, to worry about this. The Lord handles that. It's His responsibility to protect you if you are His child. Cast all your burdens, the word says, Yehav in the Hebrew. It means the things that you have been placed under, the responsibilities that you have been given. And you have been placed under a responsibility at this time in our country, maybe of quarantine, maybe of staying inside, maybe you can't go outside, maybe you can't do this or can't do that. That's the burden that you're carrying. Just cast it on Him. Relax. Take it easy. Enjoy life. He's in control. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy, weary from trials, weary from exhaustion. Come unto me, all ye that are weary, and who carry a heavy burden, he said. Let me back that up. Come unto me, all ye that are laboring and carrying a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. In the Greek New Testament, that word burden is different from the word in the Hebrew. In the Greek New Testament, in Matthew 11:28, burden is portizo, P-H-O-R-T-I-Z-O. It's a different meaning. It means referring to the demands that you've been placed under physically, placing demands on your resources. It's used metaphorically of the demands, for example, there of the law of Moses imposed by the religious leaders. And people couldn't live under those laws. They couldn't exist under those laws. No one could live up to that. So you have to cast every burden you have on the Lord. And then remember this verse, Matthew 10:28. Fear not them who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's right. There will either be two births or two deaths. The first birth is when you're born into the world from your mom and pop, and you come into the world a shining baby, boy or girl. That's birth one. Birth two is when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are born again. The Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus he needed to be born again in John chapter 3. Nicodemus didn't quite understand it. He thought that was crazy, that no one could go back into their parents' womb and be born again. And the Lord gently corrected him and said, no, it's not physical, it's spiritual. The spiritual rebirth is your human spirit being made alive. It's God the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of you and making you spiritually alive, because you're born spiritually dead. You're born with a sin-infected virus, the virus of sin and death. And for by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, and now death is passed on all, for all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. You're born into that. You have that virus already. And there's only one solution. There's only one thing to be inoculated with, and that is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There it is. That's the antidote to the virus of sin and death. So, it's yours if you want it. Don't be afraid of anyone else. You want to be afraid of somebody, you better take a look at what God said. Hell is not the place you want to be. But remember this, hell and the lake of fire are horrible. Revelation 20 talks about the lake of fire and who will be in the lake of fire. And it says, whoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. I told you, two births and two deaths. Either you're going to be born twice or you're going to die twice. The first death is when it's appointed and a man wants to die, and after that the judgment. The second death is being cast into the lake of fire. If you have had two births, you will not have two deaths. But if you've only had one birth, then you'll go through two deaths, death one and death two. Physical death and cast into the lake of fire, death two. So, put your trust in the Lord, and don't worry about what man can do to you. Psalm 56:11. In God, I will put my trust, and I will not be afraid of what man can do to me, regardless of what man can create. Nobody's going anywhere until the Lord says it's time. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. This means your loving Father is watching over you. I pity those that have no hope, no divine protection. You need to tell them the good news about the eradication of sin and death virus, and maybe they might believe it. But if they don't have any hope, if they don't have any divine protection, they are scared to death today. Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That is the sin and death virus right there. And Christ Jesus is the antidote to the sin and death. Now, I want to go over to another passage that will be interesting for you. I want to go to Philippians 1:9, verse 9 through 11. And this will talk a little bit about the love of God for you. I told you God loves you. He's not going to throw you under the bus. He's watching over you. The question is, do you have the faith to trust him? Do you do that? Can you trust God with your life, with the life of your children, with your finances? If so, then it's in his court, not your court. But if you don't, then you're going to worry. You're going to be afraid. You're going to be intimidated. In Philippians 1:9, verse 11 through 11, 9, 10, and 11, this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able, you may be able to discern what is best, and that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Knowledge produces wisdom, and wisdom gives insight and discernment. What did he say? That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Your love is the Greek word agape or agapao. That's the divine love that we understand to be occupation with Christ. He wants you, Paul is writing now to the church at Philippi, but to you as well. He wants your love to abound. Perisuo. He's praying for your spiritual growth, just like your pastor would pray for your spiritual growth, that you would increase in spiritual growth. But you have to abound. Abound. Perisuo. It means to exceed a certain number or a certain measure. And what we call this in the Greek morphology is a subjunctive mood, which says maybe it will, maybe it won't. That's really up to you. How much hunger you have. Whether or not you have a desire for knowledge. When knowledge becomes pleasant to your soul, the book of Proverbs says, that means that knowledge is great, like a Twinkie. You know, you love them Twinkies. You love those donuts. You love that chocolate. Do you love the Word of God? Can't wait to get into it today. If you got some cookies at home you love, you can't wait to go home and get a cookie. But what about the Bible? What about God's Word? Do you have a hunger for the Word of God? I hope so, because that's what it's going to take. Abound. I want your love to abound more and more. The Lord Jesus Christ knew all about abounding. You know, when he fed those 5,000, they had 12 baskets full left over. And his love demonstrated his provisions and care for them. You have to do the same thing. You have to. You know, the greatest love we've seen, apart from the love of God, or our love for God, is a combat veteran's love. Men that served in combat together, men who faced death together. You know, these men had a great love and great appreciation for each other in World War II, in the Korean War, and Vietnam War. I've had the honor of knowing men like this that love their combat veterans. In the war with Japan, when we fought World War II, Germany on one coast and Japan on the other, the Japanese would willingly die for the Emperor Hirohito, willingly die for him. However, they were amazed that the American fighting man would die for one another, that our love for our fellow soldier would cause us to jump on a grenade and save his life. Do you ever consider this? This is a thought I want you to think about. The Lord Jesus Christ jumped on the grenade in the foxhole with you. He died for you. He took your place. He sacrificed himself to make you free. He did it for you. Our love for God has different levels based on maturity, based on fidelity, based on trust, but you must grow to appreciate that love. And the only way to do it is to grow in knowledge. And the word epinosis is the word for knowledge there, but it's only one of two words. There are a couple of words for knowledge in the Bible. One of them is G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis. And that knowledge doesn't do you any good. It's just an accumulation of facts that you understand. But epinosis is knowledge that you've converted from fact to faith and believed it and applied it into your life. This is what God is looking for you to take the information you're hearing, even from your pastor, and to transfer that information from your mind, where it assimilates, over to your heart, where you can make the application. When it's in your heart, it's epinosis. When it's in your mind, it's gnosis. Gnosticism is a worship of knowledge. Christianity is not Gnosticism. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And so we come to understand these things when it gets into our heart. We learn about it. We apply it into our life. So he wants their love to increase. If you consider love is much like a river, it flows directionally. You know, when a river gets out of its banks in a flood, it's very destructive. It can wipe away homes and wash cars off the road and kill people. Well, love that's not under control is destructive. If you can't control passion, it's destructive. And so the only way you can ever control love is not to let it be an emotional thing. This is not an emotional thing. This is a different type of love. This is a love that is related to your understanding God's plan for your life. So he wants your love to grow in knowledge and depth of insight. And that word depth of insight is a Greek word called eisthesis. Eisthesis, and it means discernment, that you would have great discernment in your soul. And that's hypax legomena, we call it. It's only used one time in the Bible. But if you consider the banks of the river's flowing to the south. On one side of the river is knowledge. On the other side of the river is eisthesis, or discernment. This is how you keep love directional going. If you learn about God's word, if you not only know him but understand him, then you have epinosis. So when you have epinosis, then you can respond to God's love by loving him back reciprocally. And when you love him, you have discernment. And that's the other side of the bank of the river, discernment or eisthesis. And this is you having the ability to see through the devil's mirage. Satan throws up a smoke screen, and if you have knowledge of the Word of God, you can have discernment to see through it and not be distracted, not be knocked off course, not be defeated in your Christian life. So the delusional daydreamer, he's not interested in discovering the love of God. He's not interested in anything like that at all because he's in love with his own self. He considers himself to be equal with God. Proverbs 1:22 said, "How long will you naive ones love being simple?" Yes, Proverbs 3:7, they consider themselves wise in their own eyes. The people that are delusional daydreamers are in panic palace right now today because they thought they were so smart and they didn't need God. They didn't need God's word. They didn't need the filling of the Holy Spirit. They didn't need the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they start facing crisis like this, then they may begin to second think. Or they'll just get bitter and angry and say, well, okay, there is a God, but I hate him because of what he's done. You know, it can go that way too, can it? But without acquiring some sort of spiritual IQ by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit, that's problem-solving device number one. And without you having some epinosis, that's taking what you heard and applying it into your life, you will never, ever, ever have maximum love or maximum appreciation for God. At best, it'll just be a superficial emotion, and which is, I guess, better than nothing, but far from the best. The best is knowing the God you love, understanding the God you love, how you can reflect Jesus Christ through your life, how you can fulfill God's plan in your life. I mean, it's sad to wind up doing all the right things in the wrong way and thus accumulating nothing but wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's what it's going to be for a lot of folks that didn't understand. Never took the time. Oh, they love God. Yes. Oh, yeah, I love God, they'll say. But they didn't understand the God they loved. They did the right thing, did it in the wrong way. And what does verse 10 say of Philippians 9:10? So that you would be able to discern what is best, and that you could be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. To discern is the Greek word dokimazo. And it's a verb, and it's a present tense verb. There never is a time you shouldn't discern. You should always be able to discern what is God's will for your life. If you don't understand that, then you don't even have a place to get started. The Bible wants you to approve God's will for your life, that you may be able to discern what is best, pure, and blameless. You have to make choices in life. You have to distinguish between what's excellent and what's wrong. And many people waste time doing good things that are totally a waste of time. Totally, in their spiritual lives. It's easy to get distracted and drift from grace by getting involved in some program that has nothing to do with your spiritual growth. So I could talk a lot about that, but let me wrap this up by saying this, that he wants you to be pure. Pure. And that's the interesting Greek word, alikrinos, alikrinos. And that means not contaminated morally, and not contaminated with false doctrine, pure from defilement. How could you reflect the love of God if you're contaminated with prejudice, religious ritual, or self-serving sin? You can't. So he wants you to be pure and blameless, aproskopos, aproskopos. And that means not causing others to stumble or lead them astray. That's what Paul is saying. He wants you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter actually said that. But that you would grow in knowledge and grace here, and that you would continue to glorify Christ with your life. You know, there's some pretty sleazy people running around this country. And we have a mandate to love them just like Christ loves them. We might not approve of their sin, but we do offer them deliverance and forgiveness and love in Christ Jesus. We have to, because God loved them just as much as he loved you. So, is it possible you forgot that? Is it possible you don't have that first love you had? Remember why he came to start with, to seek and save those that are lost. And you're not the only one that needed it. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. That's your mission also, to demonstrate God's love through your life, be a reflecting of Jesus Christ's love for them, give them hope in this time of crisis. People are scared. People don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. You have the answers, some of those we gave you today, so think about it. If you'd like a transcript of this message, let me know. We'd be glad to send it to you. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.floodline.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.